Hello, welcome to Therapy Talks. I'm Chris Place and I'm a psychotherapist. In this podcast series, I'll be chatting with different people about their experiences, their lives, their loves, their challenges, and what helps them find their way forward in the world. I'll also chat to different therapists and researchers about the models of therapy that they use to get a better understanding of these different approaches and how these different approaches might be useful at different times for different people. Hopefully it'll be lots of human connection and conversation about the challenges we have and also about what helps us get through. I hope it's going to be fun, enjoyable, entertaining, engaging, informative. Anyway, let's go on the journey. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Therapy Talks, more specifically part three of the Stephen Tumman race to the channel challenge as we build up to it. So Steve had a very tough, I suppose, weekend of swimming on Friday and Saturday, very intense couple of days. So we're a few days after that, and today really we're going to be talking a bit about some of the mental, tips and strategies that Steve has developed, over the last 18 months of training for this challenge, this endurance challenge. And I suppose for me, tips that I think we could all use in our lives, I think, rather than just for endurance athletes. Steve, how are you today?
Hi, Chris. How are you? I am absolutely exhausted. I mean, I ran my body into the ground there over the last 8 days, the two weekends back to back. But kind of the hard work done now to try and get back on the horse and get a 5 week kind of taper done. And it hasn't hit me really yet that I finished all the training, I suppose. Yeah.
Because you've done, like, in terms of the long swims, they're done now.
So it's five weeks of just kind of keeping the body fresh, and I'll be swimming for 2 hours at the weekend and stuff and tipping over, keeping the shoulders moving. But The big long ones, yeah, are done until the actual day.
Wow, that's amazing. Even that in itself is an achievement, isn't it, to have got them done?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. And I've always said, like, the day isn't, I didn't sign up for this for the day. I signed up for it to have, like, 18 months of training. And I did that far, far better than I ever thought I could. And I don't see myself ever, if I don't make it across this year, I don't see myself ever being able to give a bit more. Like, I gave it all I had, I think, which is what I signed up for. I needed a challenge that would make me do that. So, wow. Yeah, it's amazing, yeah.
It hasn't hit me yet, though, really. Yeah, and I suppose, you know, I was thinking about it because the swim at the weekend, and for those who've listened to the part two, that you swam 7 hours on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Saturday didn't go according to plan for lots of different reasons. Poor night's sleep, just being really exhausted, a whole range of things. One of the things that I was left with was, like, you don't dwell on it in a negative way, though. You're not, like, kind of going, oh, that didn't work out. It's more like that sense of reframing it in a way to see it as an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, because I suppose what's negative and what's positive? A two-hour swim would be amazing for some people, and a two-hour swim is nothing to some people, other people, you know? So, Yeah, I did a two-hour swim. I wanted to do a six-hour. There's bigger things to worry about, really, isn't there? Like, life is still pretty good. Life is still great. Still have the privilege to be able to do it. Still lucky enough to be able to try. So, to live somewhere that I'm able to try. So, why would you focus on the fact you didn't finish it, you know?
Yeah, so that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, instead of giving mental energy to, oh, I didn't get to that, it's like, well, I did 2 hours, and isn't it brilliant that I can do that and get into the water and live where I live and do all of these things?
Take all the positives. I mean, for my training, absolutely, there's a little bit of me now that's like, oh, God, I didn't finish it. But it's nice to be humbled. And then also, I think now that'll kind of make me focus more on my taper than I would have otherwise. So It's just always lessons to be learned. Like, and it's unfortunate now. It's the first session I didn't finish this year, and it was my last one. So it would have been nice to be perfect, but sure, nothing is really ever perfect. So,
but sure, overall, it was, as they say, it was good enough, wasn't it?
We'll soon find out. We'll find out when I'm over there in England.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is, if I don't make it this year, and I try again next year, I can't see myself doing much more or any more really than I did this year.
Yeah.
The last 18 months, I've given it my all, which I've never actually been able to say that before. So,
you've given it 100%. Like you've done the best you can possibly do, and whatever else happens.
Without someone paying my salary and going on it as a full time job, this is definitely the best I could do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, if this was your profession and you decided you were going to be a professional endurance athlete in terms of swimming the channel or whatever, you know that, but you work full time, or like you have a job, and then you do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fairly intense hobby.
Oh, indeed.
So I suppose, thinking back over the last 18 months and all of the different, I suppose, mental strategies, techniques, things you've done to manage, I suppose, your psychological perspective on things, is there anything that stand out for you that have been really important?
I love swimming in the sea. That's something that really shone through in like March when I got back in the sea. It was so much easier to go training than it was in the pool. So I think doing something I loved really made it easier. Like the fact that I loved it, and like the headspace of being in the sea, everything like that. That's a huge piece of it. And in terms of the training and committing to something, if I really loved it, that's something I realized. I found it difficult now, and I was in bad form really when I was swimming in the pool as much as I was, and I didn't love it.
Mm.
And then I was like, why am I doing all this training to be in bad form? What's the point if you're just going to be in bad form? And then I got back in the sea, and I remember my first swim back, and I was like, this is exactly why I do it. And straight away I got it back.
It's amazing. So it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the other thing that stood out to me, I think I used perspective an awful lot. Like, I've nothing to complain about in my life. So what can I give out for about having to swim 2 hours? I picked this challenge. There's no point in giving out about it. And life could be an awful lot worse. I think people are in the habit of giving out when really, in this grand scheme of things, if you're listening to this podcast on a tablet or a device somewhere, you probably don't have much to give out about in the grand scheme of things. So I use that as motivation, that when I do find myself giving out about sessions, I'm saying, well, I'm giving out about going to a warm gym to swim in a warm, heated pool. Get over yourself and just get on with the session. You're like, it's 50 years ago, I think the first heated pool came to Galway. So everyone else before that in Galway never had a chance to swim in a heated pool. All these things. So how am I now 50 years later to be given out about swimming in one?
So perspective, reminding yourself of where you are in the world at this particular moment in time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Perspective. And then I did another thing as well. I forget where I found it, but it was on the front of my diary. It's like 0 to 90 years old is 32,000 days. And I've cashed in 11,000 of them. I've 21,000 left. And then I used that to say, okay, you know, if I have 100 days of training left, today's session is 1% of that.
Hmm.
And just keeping an eye on the numbers and adding it all up to saying, like, today's session might seem small, but, you know, if you're 80 days away, it'll be over 1% of all the training you've left. So just those small margins and looking at them. And if you have 10 of those sessions and that you skip, that's 10% gone. So the little things do matter.
Mm.
It's easy. I don't know, it's probably like being in college. Like, you know, it's easy to get the first 50. And it's every 10 you go up gets more and more difficult. So if you want to do something great, you have to do the difficult ones. It's not doing the first 50 is the easy part. Then after that, it's those tougher ones that really separate you. Like, I don't know anyone that got over 90% in college, but like if you're able to hold on and only miss 8, you know, then you're up in that echo. So it's the small things really do add up over time.
So that's interesting, isn't it? Is like that. So when you, every bit of training, even if you think, oh, I've done, like, it's important, and it's all part of these small incremental goals that you set for yourself become part of a much bigger picture.
Oh yeah, like, they hopefully make you swim between two countries.
Yeah.
And all it is micro moments like that. And but no, like, fantastic journey over the last 18 months, and mentally, and also the momentum of it as well. Like, when you the first step's always the hardest, and it's always tough starting, but then when you're in it, your body knows how good you'll feel after a week's training, so you can just do it easier. But starting off is really the tough part. Getting going in the first bit was really the toughest part, and then when you're in it, you're just tumbling down a hill at that stage. You can't help but train, you know, because you know you're so aware and in tune of the benefit it brings you.
So there's something about that. I was thinking about it today because I went for a swim today with Tom, the other host, and we were, as we parked the car, we were walking up to the water, and it's the same process every time for the two of us. It's like, oh, I don't want to be doing this. Let's not bother, you know, this same mental kind of game. And then, you know, you're going down the steps or whatever, and you kind of go, oh, it's so cold, you know, it's so cold or whatever. And the tide's in, so you can't really put, you know, you just have to get in. But within seconds, you're in the water going, isn't this just fabulous? Like, and swimming out to the buoy or whatever and swimming back and just thinking, this feels amazing. But so it's always that that piece beforehand is like, oh. But you just get in and do it.
And even to really look in that detail, what I would do is, I think verbalization is very powerful. So if you're walking down to the water and you say, oh, I don't want to do this, all of a sudden I think that doubles, because now you've said it, but you've also heard it.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's you're verbalizing these negative thoughts.
Yeah. So when I had moments like that, I never verbalized bad thoughts.
Okay.
But in the big swims, like Tom interviewing me, of course I feel terrible. I'm 3 hours into a massive swim. There's no way I'm going to get out and tell Tom I feel terrible, because then I'm admitting it.
You've validated it almost for yourself.
Yeah. So if I was walking down to the water and it's cold, I love getting in when it's cold. I'm the opposite. I get giddy getting towards the water. But if I don't want to do something, I'll walking down, I'll be like, this is brilliant, this is what I want to do. Or if I'm running, I'll say, my right knee feels absolutely fantastic. Even though what I want to say is my right knee feels terrible or the water's going to be cold. But I'll verbalize the exact opposite of that. And it makes the action easier. So that's one of the tricks I learned. Immediately you can do. And it's just, because then it has the opposite effect. You say positive thoughts and you hear positive thoughts. So I like that. I think that if you can catch yourself and just take the step of not verbalizing the negative thoughts, it's a great first step in winning the battle.
Well, I mean, cognitive behavioral therapy is all about, you know, sort of challenging the negative thought processes, you know, and actually saying, look, is there an actual proper, a realistic alternative based on the evidence? And invariably there is, because usually these distorted negative thoughts are just, that's what they are. So what you're doing there is that you're not even allowing them. You use an analogy to me the last day. You were talking about, like, those thoughts are a bit like they're all wearing suits and jackets and briefcases and they're banging at the door.
Yeah.
And you don't verbalize, because once you verbalize them, they're getting in.
Yeah. So I suppose you're closing the door on them and you're turning around and you're just shouting the opposite.
Yeah. You're saying, no.
All you see then is someone roaring positive thoughts, and it doesn't matter. There's a closed door with 1,000 negative ones behind. But yeah, so that was a real good trick I learned over the years. And it's carried over to my everyday life as well. I could say it at the coffee machine when I'm walking back to do a bit of work. You know, instead of saying, oh, I don't want to do this, something, I'll just verbalize the opposite in positive form.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a great one. And very, so simple.
So simple, but yet I can imagine over time it challenges it changes something.
Yeah, so you'll have to try it now anytime you get in the water.
I will. No, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Because the thing
try it for 6 months and see how you feel.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit like meditation, isn't it? If you just do it every day, in whatever form that is for you, whatever approach is for you, it takes hold and becomes a sort of ingrained pattern. So I will try that tomorrow, because I came out of the water going, I cannot wait to get back in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So, I mean, and it is fabulous. Like, there's a lot there, I think, that you're talking about in terms of like the three things you've said, you know, one of them really stands out is that you love swimming in the sea.
Yeah.
You just love it. Yeah. Even looking at the big smiley head on you, like when you talk about it, like, do you know, yeah. You just love it.
Yeah, I do. Just the headspace of it, the challenge of it. I love all of it. I love everything about it, really. Yeah, it's great. I couldn't have a life without it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, I'd find that a bigger challenge than swimming the channel.
Not being able to swim in the sea.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So your perspective, the fact that you love swimming, and then obviously not vocalizing negative thoughts, just not saying them out loud, they would be key pieces to you in terms of how you manage.
Yeah, and motivation was it. I had to learn a lot about motivation as well.
Okay.
And I felt like, I don't know how you describe it, like, you know those amusement rides where you sit in the chair and they bring you up high and they swing you around? You know, you're just, so you could be flying up on this chair. I felt like motivation was that, except it was hooks and I was standing on the ground. And you'd look up and you're just trying to catch one of them. It doesn't matter what hook you get, but you're just trying to move. So motivation, I try and get motivated, and like I wanted to swim the channel because I wanted to challenge myself. That was a big thing. I wanted to be recognized as the great swimmer. That was a big thing. I wanted to use my athletic ability when I'm young. That was a big thing. I want to be better than other swimmers. Like whatever anger, greed, jealousy, love, like of course for the people I love, whatever I could find, and I just try and grab a hook of one of them and use it. I didn't have a set thing I came back to. It was go into my head and look for anything. And it's the smallest thing ever came, I just try and grab onto it and blow it up. So whatever motivation could be jealousy, people I love, you know, wanting to do it to prove people said I couldn't do it wrong, wanting to do it because when I'm old, I want to look back at this. And I just go through these on my head. And whatever one kind of gave me a little bit of a tingle, I would jump straight into that and really run with that. And I'd have to use different ones every day and different ones during different swims. But I think...
Okay.
You often hear people say, what's your why? And they're like, you need a definite why. But I don't really have a definite why. There's loads of different things. And then so I'd use loads of different things for my motivation whenever I got... I realized that this year, and I did struggle with it for a long time. I was like, I don't have a definite why. You know, I've 15 other whys, but I don't have this massive blockbuster why. But you can still do great things if you have loads of small reasons to do it. It doesn't have to be one monster reason. So that was something that really... And once I figured that out, it became a bit easier.
It's really interesting though, isn't it? So you were saying, like, what I really like there is it's almost like... it's like not having any specific philosophy, you know. It's almost like, listen, whatever philosophy works at any particular moment, that'll do me. Do you know, like in that moment, it's like right now it's jealousy that's driving me. Tomorrow it could be love. The next day it could be physical improvement or fitness or whatever it is, or looking back when I'm older. But I suppose the other thing I was thinking, and then at the same time, is you love swimming in the sea. So like, either way, you're getting into the sea.
Yeah, and swimming and doing something you love obviously makes it easier, but just getting it done is all that matters. Just doing something, doing your 5K, doing your 2-hour swim, your 7-hour swim. It's just about doing it. So whatever motivation you see and you need to use and rob motivation from people, make up stuff and whatever you need to do to get it done, play the tricks in your game, go and do them, because then afterwards... It's better to have gone and done the thing, having played a little trick on yourself, than it is to just sit at home and not do it.
So when you're in the sea and you're on the long swim, these are the kind of things you're doing. Like, this is the sort of stuff you're doing. If you're thinking, right, I'm 3 hours in, I'm 4 hours in. Yeah. There's a whole lot of rational reasons why you might get out of the water.
Yeah.
But you will use some form of motivation just to keep going.
Yeah, and absolutely. And Yeah, like I'll go looking for something, and whatever shows its face, I'll grab it. It doesn't have to be. I don't have something I can go to, but I can know I can go back there and something will appear, and whatever it is, I don't know. And to be honest, I don't really care as long as it works.
It doesn't matter. And I love it the way you could say it could be jealousy, could be greed, could be anything. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like some days you just have to be like, there is an element of life where you have to grit your teeth and you get tense and you have to really, really get through it. But that is very, very rare, I think, if you want to have any sort of longevity and do things consistently. A lot of the time it has to be love, and it's easy, and you're going to be you have to be relaxed. It's being stressed and gritting your teeth. There's a time and place for it, and they're the really tough ones. But you can't rely on that all the time. You can't rely on hate or just being better than someone, getting stressed. It works for some situations, but there has to be other times where you just do it out of love, or you do it out of just because it's your goal, you know. And then there are moments where you need to grit your teeth and go, but you have to kind of, there, you don't want to do that too much. Because the most important thing, Ross Edgley, who swam around Great Britain, said he just learned how to swim with a smile, and then he was just smiling. So that's a good philosophy, like swimming with a smile. So you're just smiling then. Like, and that's so different than being, getting in the water, oh, it's so cold, I have to get through this 6 hours and clenching your teeth. Yeah. Versus someone who learns how to swim with a smile, and they go out and smile for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, so learning how to do things with a smile is kind of the key.
Learning how to do things with a smile. And then when you need to stress, and you'll find the things you need to do to get through it. But
yeah,
a bigger thing is to find that space where you can enjoy it. Just swim with a smile. Yeah.
Yeah. Do, like, if you can do something with a smile, you'll do it. You know, you have a much higher chance of going on for longer.
Yeah, it's really exciting, isn't it? I suddenly got this, the heebie-jeebies excitement there for you. I don't know, I was suddenly just thinking, like, it's happening soon, like, really. You know, in a few weeks' time, you're swimming the channel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's here now, and it's great. And I'm grateful for this podcast, because I'm just in this blur, really. I'm not living a normal life by any stage. And then when I go back to living a normal life, it'll be great to be looking back on these moments. Because it will be a beautiful piece of my life.
Yeah,
it's great to be doing things, and the sense of satisfaction and achievement I have now is excellent. I'm very grateful for it. To be honest, I hope this helps people. It'd be great. I know it has helped one person. That's fantastic. But
it's amazing though, isn't it? I was saying it to Tom after talking to you. I said, you know, I one of the things that had really impacted me was your capacity maybe to visualize and to really see what you want, and then obviously break things down into the small goals and all the rest. But you said, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to swim the channel. And so I was thinking about it with this podcast. I said, well, I'll just make this podcast bigger.
Yeah. And I hadn't a clue how to swim the channel when I decided to swim the channel. But all you need to really know is what you do tomorrow. And I don't think I'm I am good at finding smart people.
Yeah.
And if you can do that and work with smart people, you get the benefits of being, it's like you're a smart person and you get the same results as them. So I had a coach and, like, you know, a good physio, the swimming community down in Black Rock. Now there's a crew there, they swim on Fridays and Sundays. I've latched onto them like a leech because they're so motivating and they're just cracked, and you get great crack out of them. So I hang out with them as much as I can because it disguises your swim, you know? So, I didn't know I'd be doing any of this 18 months ago. I had no idea what it was. And like, I met them maybe 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. I didn't know I'd be doing that with them. But now I am, and they're great, and they're brilliant people. They're fantastic, and they've become a huge part of my training. But there's no way you can plan for that. You just have to say what you're going to do, set your goal, and then just start going. And it's, who ultimately cares if I swim the channel? I've had a great 18 months. I've done all these things. Yeah, it'd be great to have my name on the wall, but, like, it's never going to define me. I want to do other things. It's just a goal that allowed me to learn.
All the things that have happened as a result of the 18 months, do you know?
Are
worthwhile. Like, and so whether you know, obviously it'd be great to swim the channel, but whether you do or not is far less important than the impact this 18 months has had on your life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like, if I signed up for 20 of these goals in the rest of my life, and, you know, I spent a year and a half on them, that's 30 years of my life. And my girlfriend's going to listen now. Not that I am setting, going to sign up for 30 of these goals. But, you know, that would be like 30 years of your life versus just 31 day events. So it's incomparable, really. And it's about just,
yeah, I get that. Yeah.
You just break it down as you go and move. And you have to be very flexible as well. You know, if you set baby steps and goals, and you won't move from them, you can be in trouble because you're guessing what you'll need to do in 4 months' time, and you have to be flexible. So I think just setting your goal and starting, if you can set your goal and start and put a smile on your face, well, look, you're there.
That's class. That's a lovely way to end, actually. If you could, you know, if you could set your goal, just get started with a smile on your face, so you're there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's really what I've done for the last 18 months.
Well, and you have a smile on your face now. And, you know, if we were recording this, everyone would be kind of going, I want what he has. Like, there's a real sort of relaxed vibe off you at the moment. Like, really, like, just, you look really like,
whew. Yeah, just trying to, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, just, it's done now. Just need to do the day.
So now, the next few weeks is just tapering off. You're just keeping yourself, obviously, you know, keeping the strength up in whatever way, but it's not no more extreme.
No.
And then you're going to, what date are you? Do you know what, like?
Sometime in July, I reckon.
Sometime in July. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you go over a few days? Like, will you go over a week before, or do you have a plan?
Yeah, I'll move over in July and just work from there and wait for the wind. So
you're going to move down to
yeah, I will, yeah,
over move to Dover. The location to Dover.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a cousin who lives half an hour away, who's very kindly offered to put me up, so fabulous. I'm lucky. I don't have the financial stress of staying there.
You have somewhere to stay, and then you'll just base yourself there, work from there, and then
swim the channel
and come home.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. Let's not overcomplicate it.
No, keep it simple. Well, it's amazing. Look, we'll probably talk, we'll hopefully talk again in the next, soon enough, next week or whatever. And and then we'll be just that bit closer.
Absolutely.
That was brilliant. I'm looking forward to it already. Steve, thanks a million, as always.
Thank you, Chris.
And I'll speak to you all next time as well. So take care, everyone. Bye.